Before we start, I've got some questions for you. Have any of you ever made a decision, made a choice, and when you made the choice, you thought, well, you know, you might have even known it was a bad choice, but 3 months later, you thought, man, I shouldn't have done that. 6 months later, you thought, unbelievable. You know what I mean? I don't know what I was thinking. 9 months later, 2 years later, 3 years later. How many ever made a decision later on you just said, that was bad? Come on. Okay, that's eight people told the truth, okay? Here's what I want you to understand, that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us in real time that we would be able to take advantage of him. So you get this GPS, you punch it in. How many know GPS is our blessing? And they're just like, you know, you don't know where you're going, and you get there anyway. Imagine having a GPS system where the Holy Spirit could tell you what to, not only where to go, but what to say and what not to say. How many would like that? How many would like a GPS system that knew in advance things that could protect you? Well, you have that system. It's called the Holy Spirit. And there's a power of being led by the Holy Spirit that I want to show you in the Word of God. You guys ready to learn this?
Yes.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look what it says there. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those wrong choices that you made, many of them were decisions that you made out of your flesh, out of your carnal, out of your, you know what I'm talking about? And those decisions have real negative consequences. But Paul is saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those lusts. You won't make those bad choices. But here's what I want you to see. Look at this verse before that, because it brings a lot of depth. A lot of times you read a verse, read the verse before and read the verse after, you'll get insight to that verse that you're reading. Look what this says. Look what it says. But if you bite and devour one another, if you bite and devour one another. Remember that boxer, and he was getting so frustrated with the other guy? He was like, man, I can't punch you out. Someone just going to bite. He bit the guy. Amen? The pastor, I've never bitten anybody before. Well, have you ever had somebody said something so bad about you, and you felt like somebody took something from you, took a piece out of you? They're biting you. This is a descriptive word. It's not talking about biting each other. It's about this talk that's taking place. And what it does is you bite and you devour one another. And here's what he says. Beware lest you be consumed by one another. Then he says. Next verse. Then I say. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you see how powerful that is now? Specifically talking about gossiping about each other, talking about each other. And let me just say this, because I need to say this. I need to add it, because we're living in the day that we live. This includes getting on the internet, getting on your iPhone, getting on your whatever, your electronic device, and somebody say amen to this.
Amen.
Many times, some of the, we're not saying it, but we're saying it. And I highly advise, before you hit send, that you read it like eight times. And then before you hit send, then pray in the Spirit. You know, let no evil word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. I believe that will include stuff that we say on the internet. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'll amen this, okay? Amen, that was good, Pastor. Okay. But well, here's what's happening. Notice what it says. There's this devouring. You devour one another. Go back to that verse, guys. You devour, lest you be consumed by one another. When you're, how many know you reap what you sow? And when you are speaking about other people, yeah, but it's true. Yeah, but be quiet. Amen? See, the Bible says we're blessed, you know what? Not when we expose somebody, but when we're gracious to cover up. Amen. That's what it says. No, look at yourself. Amen. But what's happening is you're talking and they're talking and you're talking and they're talking. And what's happening is there's a devouring taking place and we're devouring ourselves. And then he says, next verse, and then he says, then I say, walk in the Spirit. See, what are we supposed to be? Here's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. And then we won't be consumed by one another. We won't devour one another. We're going to be prosperous. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be happy. Amen. We're going to be joyful. We're going to be a church where people are encouraging, where, you know what, one person's encouraging another person, and where a church where we are overlooking our faults. Let me just ask you this. Let me just ask, this is a deep thought. You know what, I'm just asking, who's perfect in here? Okay, do it. No, nobody's perfect in here. Wouldn't it be awesome instead of when I was in junior high, I was one of the first persons that got acne. You know what I mean? And I was like in the sixth grade and I had acne. But that's, you know, it's a bummer to get acne anytime, but especially when you're like the first. And I remember coming to church and I remember church people coming up to me and it's like, I was in the sixth grade. I thought, you know what, get a clue. You know what I mean? I felt like unbelievable. You're an adult, right? Unbelievable. But adults would come up to me and say, wow, you're getting acne. I thought, oh, thank you, Miss Brown. I didn't know that. I'm so glad you told me today that, because that really makes me feel better. So I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it be an awesome church when people overlooked things? And I'm not talking about you have a personal relationship with somebody and you can tell them, hey, you know what? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a church that is a church of encouragers. But here's what I'm going to say. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't get in that mess. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at this next verse. Watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, you ever do something and you're like, I can't believe I did that. You know what I mean? I can't believe I did. What happened? Here's what happened. You weren't led by the Spirit. They are contrary. They war against each other. Are you learning something today? And there's something powerful about being led by your Spirit, not your flesh. You have a flesh. But you also, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God who lives inside of you. That if you, and I'm going to teach you this in a minute, that there's ways that you can become more sensitive to what the flesh is. And if you live according to the flesh, the Bible says you're going to have life and peace. Ever say life and peace? But you're not going to have that if you walk in the flesh. So there's power in walking in the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 5. If you don't have it, we have it here up on the screens. This is the New King James. You can follow us word for word. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. What is your issue? Here's your issue. The issue is, you know what? Yeah, but he hurt me. Okay, yeah, but the problem is you keep on thinking about how he hurt you. Listen, you can think about whatever you want to think about. You have control over your mind. Some of you don't recognize that because you have just let your mind just wander anywhere it wants to wander. I don't let my mind wander wherever it wants to wander. I control my mind. Yeah. I control my mind. I control my eyes. I control my body. You know what? You know what I mean? Sometimes we act like our body, you know, what are you doing? That's funny, huh? Sometimes we act like that, though. Can I tell you what? No. You think what you want to think. Now listen. Some of us have gotten that way because that's just how we act. So we've gotten used to, you know, that's what happens in our mind. And you just think, oh, I couldn't do that. No, you can't do that because you've never done that before. But if you start to control, if you start to say, no, I'm not going to think that way, I'm going to think like this. Then you start controlling, you start developing your mind. For those who live according to the flesh, why do they live according to the flesh? Because they set their minds on the flesh. Listen, just, you know, can I get real with somebody? If you go to the mall and watch, you know, how many know there's women who dress inappropriately at the mall? Hello, I ask, can I get real with you? How many of those women who dress inappropriate at the mall? How many know that seems like appropriate nowadays? What's wrong? What's wrong with what I'm wearing? Okay, that's another sermon. But anyway, all I'm saying is if you go to the mall and you're like, you know what, you know, doing this, you're setting your mind on the, and then, you know what, when you end up, you know what, getting in bed with one of those ladies. Oh, I didn't get in bed with those ladies. I know, but you set your, but that happened. It wasn't those ladies, but it was some other lady. Why did that happen? Because that's where you set your, I ask you if I could get real with you. Why did that happen? Here's why it happened. Because for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds according to the flesh. Paul is saying, going back and saying, here's the real issue. The real issue isn't that you know what, are having sex with somebody you just met 4 days ago. Or somebody that you're not married to. We've been going out for 4 months, Pastor. Okay, well, I'm sorry. That's not the standard. Amen. All I'm saying is, why is that going on? Here's why it's going on. Because it's what you set your mind on. The apostle is going back to saying, here's the issue. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's why it's so important that you come to church. Why? Because you're setting your mind on the Spirit. I'm going to preach the Word of God. You're setting your mind on this. You're engaging with me. You're thinking about what we're going to be talking about. Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. We're going to be talking about this, so you're engaged. And you're setting your mind on those things. Is this making sense? Look at the next verse. For to be carnally minded is death. This is so important. To be carnally minded is death. When there's nothing wrong with thinking that way, you know what a problem, again, I'm just going to get real with somebody. You know what a problem the pornographic, sexed up society that we live in, you know what a problem that is in our society? You know, you could, if you know, right now, more children are born in America that are born, children that are born, more children are born now, and when their first day alive, their mom and dad are not married. The majority, not the minority, the majority. And do you know, if all you did was decide, if all America did is decide to have morality back, that kids were born in families with a mom and dad, how many know just economically we would solve poverty almost overnight? I'm not saying completely, but that would help a lot. How many know who gets rich when people get divorced? Yeah, not the kids, the lawyers. Amen. But to be carnally minded, it causes, wherever the situation is, it's going to cause problems. It brings death. But to be spiritually minded is, I quoted it to you, what is it? It's life and it's peace. Next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. There's this friction. You can't be in the flesh and be led of the Spirit at the same time. It doesn't work. God wants you to be led by your Spirit, by His Spirit that lives inside of you. Next verse. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. No, God's pleased with me. He's not if you're making decisions based on your flesh. He's not. Why? He can't be. It's contrary to who He is. It's contrary to His thinking. Amen. So look at this verse in Acts chapter 17. Acts verse 17. And I'm going to give you an example of Paul being led by his Spirit. Watch this. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his Spirit was provoked within him. Very important words. Let's say that, just those words together. His Spirit was provoked within him. Everybody, let's say it again. His Spirit was provoked within him. His Spirit. The Bible says that you've been given the Spirit of God. So now the Spirit of God that lives inside you is your Spirit. Is this making sense? Why is it yours? Because God gave you His Spirit. The Bible says the same Spirit that lives inside, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside you. It's His Spirit, but it's also your Spirit because God gave you His Spirit. Does that make sense? And it lives inside of you. If you're born again, it lives inside of you. So He's provoked within Him. His Spirit is provoked within Him. Now, what does provoke mean? Well, look at this. This is the Greek word. It's pronounced paroxuso. Paroxuso. Say, Pastor, how do you know how to pronounce Greek? Here's why. Because I got this awesome software, and I hit the thing, and it says paroxuso, paroxuso, paroxuso. So yesterday, I hit it about 30 times. Paroxuso, paroxuso. What does that mean? It means to be provoked. It means to be sharpened. It means to be stimulated. It means to be urged on. It means to be upset. What's going on? Here's what's going on. Paul is in this situation, and in his spirit, he's urged on to communicate, to preach the gospel to other people. How does God work on this earth? Remember Star Trek, and they'd go in that dots, you know what I mean, that thing, and they'd sit there and they'd go, beam me down, you know what I mean, and then beam them down, beam me up, Scotty, and all of a sudden they'd be, you know what I mean. How many know I'm not over here, I'm not studying in my office, and all of a sudden I'm like tripping out because I'm sitting down, and all of a sudden I'm over at Home Depot. Oh, man, how did I get here? You know what I mean. And then God says, I want you to minister to this person right there. How many know that doesn't happen? How does He minister to people? Here's how He ministers to people. He has His children. They're called Christians. And He leads them by speaking to their spirit, which is His Spirit that He put inside you. So here's what happens. Paul is provoked. He's urged on. He is encouraged by the Spirit that lives inside him to preach to these people who are around him. Now, go back to verse 16. While Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. He knew, oh my goodness, there's a bunch of non-Christians all over here. And his spirit says, well, do something about it. Watch this next verse. It's so powerful. Therefore. Why is it therefore there? Here's why. Because he's provoked in his spirit. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. What happened? He got up. He did something. He started to do something that he wasn't doing before he was provoked. He was led by the Spirit, provoked by the Spirit, urged on to get up and start preaching to people. And he gets up, therefore, why is that therefore? Because he was provoked. He reasoned in the synagogue and the Gentile worshipers, watch this, and in the marketplace. How often did he do this? Now he's doing it every day he's doing it. Every day. Now here's what I want you to catch. Here's what I want to catch. Look at this next verse. Look what happens. Then a certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. These Greek philosophers are there and they hear him, whoa, trip out. They're going to encounter him. Watch this. And some said, what does this babbler want to say? Oh, this guy's, you know what? Others said. See, there's people, but watch this. But the Holy Spirit knows there's others who really want to hear God. They really want to know about God. Look what he says. Others said, it seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. But look at this next verse. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is which you speak? May we know? Everybody say, may we know? You are now asking, what's going on? Why are they saying, may we know? Here's why. Because they wanted to know. I'm just asking. Did the Holy Spirit know that there were people who were open to the gospel there? He did. So what's he do? He urges on someone in their spirit inside them. Now look what happens. Watch this. Look what happens. Go to verse 33. Look what happens. So then Paul departed from among them. He was done. He's preaching. He said, I could go over it, but he says a lot of stuff, but he's done. But watch what happens before he's done. So he's leaving. But look at this next verse. However, everybody say however. Some men joined him and believed, among this Dionysius and the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Everybody say, and others with them. So there's this guy and this woman and a bunch of other people. And here's what you need to know. They left with Paul. This is powerful. Why did all this happen? Here's why it happened. Or how come this happened? Here's how come. Because when the Holy Spirit quickened him to say something, he got up and started preaching the Word of God. See, that's how God wants to lead you. Well, Pastor, I can't. No. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And this isn't just that you would preach the gospel. You know, the Holy Spirit might tell you, hey, tell your wife, you know what, that there's no other woman like her. How many know she might be feeling uneasy, she might be feeling comfortable, she might be feeling inadequate, but how many know the Holy Spirit knows that? Will you be led by the Spirit to tell her? Let me tell you, honey, there's just no woman like you. You're so special, and I want you to know that. Maybe your husband is just been, you know what, going through something. You know, you could tell him, hey, honey, oh, I'm telling you what, you look fine. Listen, ladies, if you told your husband, man, you looking fine today. How many know you about to put the biggest smile on your husband's face? Amen. Maybe your kids are going through something. You know what? Maybe the Holy Spirit's quickening you and say, go in there. I want you to talk to that person. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to apply for that job. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to give that person, I want you to fill their tank up with gas. I want you to buy them dinner. You know what? I want you to, whatever. See, imagine that we could be led by the Spirit of God today. Where would we be? I tell you where we'd be. We'd be an effective body of believers in an unchurched world, would we not? That's what God wants. God wants us to be used mightily by him. And God, but here's what happens. You've got to understand the power of being led by the Spirit. Most people, they're just led. They're just used to being led by their intelligence. And so all they're dealing with is what they think. Well, I think. And here's what the Bible says. Don't lean into your own understanding. But acknowledge God. Let him lead you. Let him direct you. Now, how many would like a life? How many know your life would get really good if all you did was be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's told you to do? Let me try it again. How many know your life would get really good? Okay. So because of that, I'm going to show you. I'm going to quickly go over some ways that will help you do this. I want to teach you how to do this. Number one, spend time with God. You got to spend time with God. Look at this. Look at this scripture. This is in Luke chapter 22. When the people, when he came to a place, he said to them, he's talking to his three main guys. He says this, pray that you might not enter into temptation. Pray that you might not enter into temptation. You know, if you'll spend time with God, you're going to, here's what the Bible says, when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. It's like working out. Imagine there's somebody, and he's a bully, and he's, you know what, and he gets your lunch money every, you know what I mean? He gets your milk money. You come around the corner, and he takes, you know, give me your milk money, you know what I mean? But guess what you're doing? You're not going that way anymore. You know what? And all the time, you're working out. I mean, you're not only working out, you got the bag, you know what I mean? The big bag, you're like, boom. You know, you're working out, boom, boom. 4 months later, you're going to go that way. He's like, where you been? Give me your milk money. You're like, I'm going to give you my milk money, you know what I mean? I'm going to give you my milk money right in the chops, Bucky. And you just go to town. I mean, you just boom, 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 boom. You know, can I tell you what? Listen, that scenario is what God's talking about here. I want you to be prepared. So when Satan comes, you're ready for his. You know what? How many know Satan is a deceiver? He's subtle. He's crafty. You've got to be aware of what's going on. You've got to be ready. Look at this scripture in 46. Jesus says the same thing in a different way. And Jesus said to them, why do you sleep? Can I be honest with somebody? Some of you called. God has called you. God has already quickened to you in your spirit. You need to get up 15 minutes early and pray. You need to get up a half an hour early and spend time with me. God, what's God saying to us? Here's what he's saying. You know what? Arise. You know what? Why do you sleep? Watch this. Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Could the Holy Spirit tell you some things that are going to happen later on in the day? That when they come, you go, I knew that was going to happen. Is that possible? See, and Jesus is like, guys, why are you sleeping? Because when the tempter comes, I want to give you insight that you would go, How many like to know what's going on before it goes on? How many know that would be an advantage to you? You're like, you know what? Some guy's like, hey, baby, you looking fine today. You're like, hey, get out of here, you joke. Get out of here. You know? So, oh, you want my number? Hello? Come on. You know what? Holy Spirit's like, hey. You know what? Didn't I talk to you about this? Did you already spend 8 years breaking up with that guy? You know what I mean? What are you thinking? You know what I mean? Who is that guy? That guy's the brother of the guy you broke up with. Amen. Same guy, just different name. Same family, just different name. What are you thinking? How many know the Holy Spirit will quicken you to let you know what's really going on? You're like, man, I know, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my life. I'm leading a life led by the Spirit, not by my flesh. Is this making sense to anybody? That's what God wants. Number one, you've got to spend time with God. Number two, you've got to spend time in His Word. See, can I tell you our problem is? Remember, we looked at it. If those who are led of the flesh set their minds to the flesh. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." You listen. You can't spend time in this Word and not be affected by it. And if you spend time every day in His Word, you will be affected by His Word. Here's why. Because here's what will happen. You'll start thinking like God thinks. I told you this in the first service, but I want to tell it to you again. You know, you know what the number one reason I believe that people won't become Christians? Here's why. Because to become a Christian, you have to give up control. Jesus needs to become your Lord, your master, here's what the Bible says Lord means, decision maker. And most people, they're like, I don't want, no, I want to control my life. Well, here's the thing. If you allow the Spirit of God to lead your life, then you'll lead this life of peace and joy and comfort and intelligence. And God wants to lead your life like that. Well, how do you do that? You start spending time in His Word, spending time in His Word, spending time in His Word. Look at this passage in James. Look what James says. James, the first chapter. Look what it says, 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. You'll be blessed because here's what you're going to do. You're going to look and you're going to look and you're going to look and you're going to look into this perfect law of liberty. It'll set you free and you'll start to think. You know why you do the wrong things? Because you think the wrong things. You think the wrong way. Those who set their minds on the flesh will be led by the flesh. So you set your minds on the flesh and you get led by that way. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, Jesus said, "My words are spirit," then what happens? You're looking at the Spirit and guess what you do? You start making decisions, spiritual decisions, godly decisions. Are you learning something? Amen. Number one, you've got to spend some time with God. Number two, you've got to spend some time in the Word. Let's go to number four. Number four, you've got to be slow to speak. You've got to be slow to speak. Everybody say slow to speak. Okay. Let me tell you what slow to speak does. Slow to speak saves you. Because when you're quick to speak, how many know if somebody hits you? How many know you're quick to hit them back? And how many know when you hit them back, you're probably not going to hit them with the same force that they hit you, but you're going to hit them back with the, how many of us, somebody hits you? I mean, it just comes up and slugs you right in the face. How many know you're not going to think, oh, okay, that was nice, you know what I mean? You know, do you want a brownie? You know what I mean? You know what you're going to do? You're going to think, I'm going to hit you back. But you're not going to think, I'm going to hit you back. You're going to think, I'm going to hit you back harder than you hit me. Somebody confess and raise your hand and tell me that's what you're going to think. Thank you for those 8 honest people. The same mentality happens with words. So somebody says something to you, and you're quick to, you know, I tell you what, I don't like your hair today. like my hair. Look at your dress. Watch. And how many know that comes quick? You're like, you know what I mean? And here's what you think, that's a good one. You know what I mean? And is that not right? And then what do they say? Well, you're my dress. Look at your nose. My nose. You know, at least I don't have those ears that go like that. You know what I mean? You need to get some duct tape. You know, they got that sticky tape. You know, get some tape, man. And you're thinking, man, how many know that stuff in real time happens like this? Now, can I be honest with somebody? The reason some of you are thinking, I never do that. I don't do that. The reason why you can't relate to that story is because you don't do that to their face. But you do that to them, not to their face. I'm telling you what, this stuff goes on all day long. Remember, you bite and devour. Guys, we're devouring ourselves. They are in the body of Christ. They are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. I told you this story, but I want to tell it to you again. I was helping my father-in-law, and we managed apartments, and they had these air conditioning units, and they were put right in the wall in these sleeves. Well, they had been in there for probably 40 years, and they were starting to go bad. So when they went bad, we had to take the old ones out. How many know something is there for 40 years, it doesn't feel like leaving? And so my father had this big sledgehammer. Big handheld sledgehammer. You know, you could do it with one hand, but it was real heavy. And we would hit the one side and hit the other side, and it would just come out a little bit, but we'd have to hit it real hard on each side, finally get it out of there. One time, I have it, and I'm bracing myself like this, and I went to hit it, and I missed. And I hit my knee. Okay, can I tell you what? That's what we're doing in the body of Christ. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Be kind to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. Be slow. Listen, if you're slow to speak, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit will give you an opportunity. He'll say, don't say that. And you'll be in a much better place. Because when you say something led of your flesh, it's contrary to God. God's like, I'm out of here. I can't lead you today. You're too busy, you know what, thinking you, I don't have to take this anymore. Who said you don't have to take this anymore? Did that come out of your flesh or did that come out of your spirit? See, that I want to just tell you what, that is far from the Spirit of God. That's not coming from the Spirit of God. It comes from a carnal place. And the more you get used to living in that place, the easier it is for you to do it. Listen to me very carefully. And the easier it is for you to justify what you're doing. Listen. You can justify it for all you want. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what it says. And right before, remember where it says, I told you about it. Remember where it says, showed you, where it talks about devouring one another. You know what the verse above that says? That if you walk in love, that's the perfect law. That's the law of the prophets. That's how the prophets walked. That even though they weren't cared about and loved on and considered and appreciated, they love people anyway. That's how we're supposed to walk. And that's how, but let me tell you what, that's the best life. The Christian life is the best life. So you've got to be close, you've got to be slow to the Spirit. You've got to be, my last point, you've got to be slow to speak, But you know what you got to be? You've got to be slow to react. Matter of fact, stop reacting. See, God doesn't want you to react. Like, you said this, I'm going to do this. No, no, no. Here, get filled up by His Spirit in the morning. Get in the Word, and then don't react to anyone. Be proactive. Where you're not responding, you're not responding to somebody else's carnality. You are acting in love. Does that make sense? You are the one initiate. You are initiating the action. We live in a world where we're so busy responding to the carnality with carnality. God doesn't want us to respond to carnality. God wants us to be led by His Spirit, where we are active in saying, this is how I'm going to act today. I'm going to treat my spouse in love, not react to them not walking in love. I'm not going to react to that work person who drives me crazy. I'm not going to, listen, they are driving you. You know why they are driving you crazy? Because you are allowing them to drive you crazy. Because you are a reactionary instead of an actionary. I don't know if that makes any sense English-wise, but theologically, it's right. I know that. You need to walk. You need to make a decision. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, we're led of the Spirit, therefore walk in the Spirit. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, listen, just because you have the Spirit doesn't mean you have any therefores in your life. What's a therefore? Therefore is where Paul says, I hear the Spirit speaking, provoking me. Therefore, he got up and preached. Therefore, he started ministering. You've got to have a therefore. Because let me tell you what, I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you all the time. Don't do this. Don't say that. Encourage them. Say this. Do this. The interns. I wish I had a picture. I took a picture, but I didn't have time to show it to you. But I wish I had a picture. Yesterday, it rained. You know, most of you were inside drinking some cocoa, okay? The interns were not drinking cocoa. They were like, Pastor, look, what's going on? All of a sudden, I'm in my office. Pastor! You know what I mean? Is this not true? I run out, and they're out there. It was a great day yesterday. You know what I mean? But they're out there. The wind caught up, and so what do they call that white thing? The canopy decided to be like a you know, let's go fly a kite. You know what I mean? And so it's you know what I mean? And the interns are like, oh, no. You know what I mean? And so it was just crazy, and it was raining, and it was windy, and it's crashing into stuff. And Pastor, I have a picture in there, and I did this on purpose. You know what? One of the parents came to pick up, you know, one of their kids. I said, no, you can't go yet. And I wanted a picture of the interns all dripping wet. They were like wet, dripping, wet rats, boom. And it was a great picture. It was a great day. Let me tell you why it was a great day. Because when the Holy Spirit prompted them to become an intern, they had a therefore reaction. They reacted and said yes. Now I'm just asking for those of you, us who are married, whose spouses just get under your skin. I know that. I know. Okay. I know. Okay. But I'm just saying, what if you didn't react to them anymore? What if you were led by the Spirit to walk in love towards them? What if you had a therefore moment daily? Like Paul had a therefore moment daily. What if you decided to act that way? See, to be carnally minded is death. Okay. I'll tell you one more story and we'll leave. Okay? You want to hear one more story? Some of you heard this before, but I'll tell it to you again. Because it's a crazy story. So now here's the negative. Because let me tell you, if you react, I'm telling you what, you're not going to be a good witness. You know what I mean? You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be, you know, I don't know. Listen, if your life is like, oh, my life is so hard. Okay, if that's your life, you know, I love you. You made it that way. Pastor George, is this not true? Does the Bible say, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you? See, if you cast your care on him, then what do you have? Then you are carefree. You're carefree. See, God wants you to have a life of if you walk in the Spirit, you'll live a life of life and peace. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. So I'm just minding my own business, having a good day. It's a Saturday. You know what? I'm coming to church. I hear this fire engine. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Oh, where are they going? You know what I mean? Wonder where they're going. You know what I mean? So I see them, and I'm driving, and then I drive up to the church. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they're at Hope. And they're putting somebody in the ambulance. So I jump out of the car, and I think, I tell you what, I'm gonna pray for who, and I see who it is. And you know what? I love this family, and I think lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How many know this is all? You know, how many know I would be smart to be slow to speak? How many know when James said, "Be slow to speak," he was speaking to your pastor. Okay. I'd be slow to speak. I wasn't slow to speak. I just ran up there and said, "You know what I mean?" And you know what I mean? Well, they're you know what I mean? Who is this? Think on their who is this guy? You know what I mean? Oh, that's just our wacky pastor. You know what I mean? He just, you know what I mean? Just, you know, they don't know who I am. You know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm afraid. You know what I mean? And the one fireman, it's like, hey, sir, could you back, you know, they feel, could you back up? I'm like, back up? You know, get your mama to back up. I ain't backing up. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. I reacted. You ain't going to tell. Let me tell you what. This is somebody I love. I'm going to lay hands on the set. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be godly right now. How many know this is not so godly? Amen. I'm going to go, I'm going to pray, man. Get out of my face. I'm going to pray. You know what I mean? And so then the guy in charge recognized, oh, you know what? Who? You know, I got to control this situation. And so he comes up and he says, you know what, can I talk to you for a minute over here, you know what I mean? And so I walk over there, I'm like, hey, baby, you know, he's not going to. And the whole time, this one fireman is shooting me dirty looks. So what did I do? I reacted. I'm like, dude, you want, well, let's, I'll throw blows with you right now. I was so mad, and I was serious. I really thought, man, I really wanted to beat him up. I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, I told the supervisor. I said, let me tell you what. You need to control. Listen, I'm just, you know what? He's like, he's the one. Blah, 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 you know what I mean? And then that guy continues to shoot me. I'm like, man, get him. Anyway, he says, Pastor, who are you? Oh, I'm just a pastor here. How many of this might not be the best witness in the world? So anyway, so he says, Pastor, we'll let you pray. Just let him get him on, you know, let him get him up there. They're checking their vitals, you know what I mean? And so I said, finally I calmed down. But I'm still have a thing with this guy. And then he says, okay, Pastor, you can pray. So, you know, Father, thank you. How many know this prayer might not be the most effective prayer at this point? Father, and thank you, and tell that stupid guy over there to knock it off. You know, the fire of God come down on him. This is not good. You know what I mean? So you say, here's all I'm saying is, see, this stuff happens in real time. And listen, folks, I'm telling you, you can do just like what I did. You can defer to the flesh all day long. But if you do, you're not going to walk in the Spirit. If you do, you're not going to walk in the Spirit. Pastor, what did you do? I just waited till the ambulance leave. He got on the truck. I just beat the snot out of him. I'm just joking. I didn't do that. Okay. But watch this. So what did you do? Here's what I did. I called my wife after. I said, honey, this guy made me so mad, you know, yada, yada, yada. And she said, hey, Drew, you probably ought to go, you know what? What fire station is? Oh, the fire station like four blocks, you know, half a block up the street on Durfee. She said, you probably ought to go up there and apologize to them. I was like, yeah, I should. Here's what happened in the meantime. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and said, here's what you should have done. What you should have done is you should have asked, who's in charge? And the guy would have said, I'm in charge. And then you should have went up to him and asked, here's what the Bible says. Give honor to who honor is due. See, I could have done this, right? Why didn't I? Because I was quick to, I reacted to that guy instead of getting out of my car and just saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to give honor to where I'm going to find out who's in charge, and then I'm going to do it right. Who told you that? The Holy Spirit told me that? So I went over there, and he said, you know what? You should have went up to the supervisor and said, hey, who's in charge of here? Make sure I want to pray with this guy before he leaves. It's really important to him and his wife and me. He let me do it. He absolutely would have let me do it. So the guy was there. The supervisor was there. So I walk in, and the guy recognizes me. And I was like, I just want to let you know I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. He says, no, that's okay. I said, no, it's not okay. Then his supervisor came out. And what did you tell him? Here's what I tell him. I said, no, it's not okay. Here's what I should have done. I should have went to your supervisor and asked him. See, we believe in honor at our church. And that wasn't what I should have done. And I that wasn't good. No, it wasn't okay. I am sorry. And I want to apologize to you, and I want to apologize to the supervisor, because I didn't do that right. Amen. Yeah. Don't clap too hard. Amen. Because the truth is, it never should even come to that. But what I'm saying, and I'm not justifying it, I'm just saying in real time, stuff happens. That's why, remember when Jesus said, what did he say? He said, pray. Rise up. Stop sleeping. Get up and pray, because there's going to be stuff that'll happen in your day. And many, many times the stuff that happens isn't the outside world. It's right in your family. You know what? You don't shower the people you love with love. Amen? You want me to sing it to you? Yeah, you do. You like that, huh? Shower the people you love with love. Don't react. Yeah, but they didn't treat me right. Yeah, but they didn't do that right. It wasn't right what they did. It doesn't make any difference. You are to treat them, not how they treat you, but how you want to be treated. Can I tell you what? I envision a people who are led by the Spirit of God. A people who can walk and God can say, here's what I want you to do, do this. And you'll just say, yes, sir. And you'll be glad to do it. And can I tell you what, Tamara, come on up. And if we do that, can I tell you what? Our lives can be filled with lives of peace and joy and contentment, fulfillment. We can lead people to Christ. You know what? We can live, our houses can be filled with peace and joy. Not frustration and anger and bitterness. You know what? People will be affected by just seeing us. How did you know? You know how many times? Remember the woman at the well? No, at the well. I'm trying to think which one he said. Oh, give me a second. The woman at the well. He said, you know what? Let me tell you what's going on. The husband you're with, that's not your husband. What's happening? The Holy Spirit is speaking to God. It's called a word of knowledge. He's got a word of knowledge. He speaks a word of knowledge. She's like, ah! She runs. Man, you got to listen to this guy. He told me everything was going on in my life. He knew what it was. He read my mail. Would the Holy Spirit say that to you? Could you go up to somebody and just say, hey, you know what? I sense that you just need somebody to smile at you today. Yeah, but what if I'm wrong? So what? What if you're right? Could you be so sensitive to wake up in the morning and say, God, I don't want to run my day today. I want to be open to allowing you to run my life today. So you got anything to tell me? Yeah, it's your day off, but don't wear those jeans. Put on some slacks because you're going to meet somebody later on. And it'd be better if you had a nice pair of slacks on than those beat up jeans. Could you allow him to do that? And then would you override him? Well, I would just want to wear the jeans anyway. That was probably. Does God want to lead us that intimately? He does. He absolutely does. And I trust that this isn't just a good message. Oh, Pastor, encourage me. No, no, no. God spoke to me today. That's what I'm believing.
As the title of today's teaching is The Power of the Holy Spirit. And I guess I am your, what do you call that? Object lesson or something, you know, when you, I had no idea what Pastor was preaching on. I mean, I know he's in the Power series, like you know he's in the Power series, but I didn't know what he was teaching on today. And I was driving in and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you know, I hate those who sow seeds of discord. I said, I know that. And he said, and I hate murmuring and complaining. I said, yeah, I know that too. And he said, I want you, when you're in church today, when you get there, I want you to deputize the people that they will begin to protect the atmosphere. And the first thing that popped in my head is Barney Fife deputizing Otis and all the, and I said, oh, Lord, that's going to be kind of weird. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? That's going to be kind of childish. See, I just, Barney popped in my head, and I just thought, I don't want to do that. That's kind of weird. Like, I'm going to go up there and tell the people, I deputize you. Stand up if you want to be deputized. That's weird. But that's what he wants. And so I told the first congregation when I came in, I said, you know, just so you know, I'm really uncomfortable with what I'm about to do. Because, you know what I mean? I already told you what I thought about it. I think it's kind of weird. I think it's kind of childish. It makes me uncomfortable to come up here and give you a chance to be deputized. See, even just saying that, this sounds childish. However, I begin to, as I sat the first service just wrestling with this, I remembered many moments of discomfort where the Spirit of God will tell me to do something and I don't feel like doing it. I say, well, that's going to make me feel weird, Lord, and I don't want to do that, Lord, and I don't know that person, Lord, and how about, you know what I mean? I got lots to say. But it's when each one of us can do whatever we want to do. We have a free will, do we not? Yeah. It is our choice. Here's the only choice you make. Obey or disobey. You can be sons of obedience or you can be sons of disobedience. If we're sons of disobedience, we have a different father. The Word of God is clear. And so, even though you could say, well, you have a choice. Yeah, I know, but I really don't. Because I don't want to be a son of disobedience, which changes my father. Do you understand that? I don't want to be that. I want to be one who obeys. I want to be like Jesus, that I say, well, nonetheless, Lord, not my will, but your will. That is the Christian program. That's what we signed up for. And so, as this all transposed in the first service, and it will transpose here too, at the beginning of this service, pastor doesn't even know this part. See, this is called church. You know what I mean? This is the church of God right here, with the Holy Spirit doing what he wants to do. So someone delivers this to me sitting on the front row and says, a lady has this for pastor. She was here last week. I said, oh, okay. So I read the letter, and God just ties this whole thing together. We are not, listen, we are a living church. Do you understand that? We're living, we're breathing, we are the church. It's not this building. It's us. And so I will give you a chance to and I'm not this in the first service I had talked about some other things, but those are the two things that God was very specific driving in with me. I hate, and this is the word of God, by the way. God hates those who sow seeds of discord. Now I said in the first service, if my husband tells me, if I'm sitting there, well, like he did, he said, you know, come up here. What if I would have gone and then come up? Is that a seed of discord? Yes. It is. But I said nothing. But I said a mouthful in my action. Because discord doesn't come just from your mouth. It comes from your heart. See, we act this thing out. What if I never got up at all and didn't even come? Just shined him on. Is that a seed of discord? Pretty much. Live and in person in front of all you. It's like, whoa, what's up there, right? We'd all be going, hmm. So, no murmuring and complaining. And no seeds of discord. Really, to not have seeds of discord, that means we have to have love for one another and we have to have honor for one another. Are those also not Bible scriptures? I mean, that he's clear about that. That is the Christian program. It's what we all signed up for. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment to, if you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior and you're a believer, you've signed up for that Christian program, then please stand up if that's you in this house today. If you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then certainly, you know what? This is our church. This is our home as a church family. And God doesn't say, don't sow seeds of discord, you know, don't murmur and complain just at church. See, these things are totality supposed to be in my life. I shouldn't be sowing discord outside of church or in church. I shouldn't be murmuring, complaining in church or outside of church. But we are the, remember the authority structure that he just talked about? You know what? That he blew it because he didn't go through the authority structure. He didn't honor, you know what, their authority that those paramedics and firemen had when they came on this property, right? His heart was right, but his actions were all wrong. So we need to obey God in action, doers of the word, amen? So we are the authority structure here that we are saying, okay, well, in this place, we're going to obey God. We're going to do what God said. We're going to do this. You know what? I'm going to give the people a chance to be deputized. But I suggest that you do this in your home, too, if you'd like to. If, as a family, see, because this isn't just for at church. It's who we are, believers in Jesus Christ. It's who we are. It goes with us everywhere we go. If I go to work and act different than I act here, I grieve the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he's in me. It's grieving to him. This is just who we are. So I suggest to take this home and see what you as families would do in your home. Let the authority structure there say, yeah, we're going to be like this. We're going to make sure we don't complain in this home. We're going to make sure we don't murmur. You know, many times, you know what? Gossip happens so strongly amongst spouses or family. And do you want to know why? Because they think it's okay. Like, they just, well, we're just talking. We're just family. Well, hello. you're identifying with the wrong family, first of all. Who is my mother and brother? Those who do the will of the Father. So a lot of times, so we got to be on guard. But just like Pastor, his intent was not to be dishonoring, and his intent was not to be violent, and his intent was not to be silly that day, but still it all happened. Why? Because his emotions got all fired up, and he reacted. And he reacted for a good reason. I mean, it wasn't because he was, I mean, someone that he loved, that he cared about, he wanted to be sure that he prayed for. We justify it, but we can't justify it. Either we're doing the things of God or we're not doing the things of God. Amen? And so, I will deputize you in a moment. If you want to continue to stand, because that's what we're going to do. We're gonna say, hey, Lord, we hear what you're saying today. We hear you, Holy Spirit. Pastor Tamara doesn't want to do this, but she's doing it anyway. And she's doing it not because she doesn't know what to do with herself, but because you told her to come in here and tell us this. And so that's my part. And I need to deal with me, you know what, with all these things to make sure that they're all up in my life. But then you've got a part, and it's twofold. Number one, you've got to deal with you. You've got to make sure that you're lining up with these things. And I've already told you, I suggest that that's in the house of God and outside of the house of God. Because it doesn't change. You're not going to find a scripture that's only for here. But the second thing is that you're going to, as part of the body of Christ, that you're going to take some ownership and responsibility for this moment of what God is saying to us. And so if you're out on the grass and someone says, oh, my gosh, you know, I wish we didn't have soup today. I was, you know, hoping we, you know, is that complaining, yes or no? Is complaining that you would then, as a person in this body, look at them and say, that's complaining. Or you could say, remember, we were deputized. Right? Whatever, just a little something-something to help them reel themselves back in. And this happens, again, unintentionally, but does it change that we're disobedient to the Word of God? It doesn't. And we will not walk in the blessings if we're not obedient. We're going to do it God's way. It's going to be blessed when we do. Or we're not going to do it God's way, and we're going to be fooling ourselves thinking that we're going to walk up in some blessings. But there's no other options. So last week, actually, you go ahead and sit for just 1 second, will you? Because I'm going to give it, I want to do this so that when I have you done, you can go. So last week, did you want Daddy? Last week, Pastor Drew, and if this is your home church, then you know, this doesn't happen every single week. It happens when the Spirit of God says, I want you to do this. We strive to make sure that he's in control of our services, not us. He's trusted us as leadership that he will be able to lead. So last week, Pastor Drew called people forward for healing. If you need healing in your body, please come forward. Why did he do that? Because we had a little extra time on the schedule? No, we never have extra time on the schedule. He did that because the Spirit of God told him, I want you to do this. So he, what? Obeyed. He just obeyed the Spirit of God. Just did what the Spirit of God asked him to do. And you'll see in your Bible, healing happens all different ways. But it's happening through people obeying what's going on. So this letter comes in today about a lady from last week. And let me just read it to you. It says, Dear Pastor Drew, I wanted to share with you the healing that I received last Sunday in the first service when you prayed before giving the message. I had been in pain for several days, dealing with a nerve problem in my hip and my leg that was causing numbness, tingling, and muscle weakness. It was hard to stand long and nearly impossible to walk very far without feeling like I was going to collapse. I had seen a doctor, but the medication that I was taking brought little improvement. I needed something more. It was almost paralyzing at times, not only to my physical body, but to my mind as well. I was stunned, and I felt like I couldn't even pray for myself. But my spirit was reaching out to touch the hem of his garment, just like you had mentioned about the woman with the issue of blood. I arrived to the church, still in much discomfort. I knew that I needed to be there. I worshiped him, knowing he is worthy, knowing it is from him that my help comes from, knowing that in him I am made whole. I was so uncomfortable, it hurt to stand, it hurt to sit, and I thought, Lord, I just need a touch from you. And then, Pastor, you began to speak about someone being in pain, and you made an invitation for prayer, instructing anyone in pain to please come forward for prayer. Immediately, I got out of my seat to get my healing. Throughout the service, as you preached about the power of you, I continued to receive, and I remembered who I am in Christ Jesus. The following days were incredible. I quickly began to see and feel changes. I was standing longer and walking further, and all of the symptoms are fading. Today, I decided to walk to church from about a mile away. And for me, that is a miracle. Thank you, Pastor. Now, last week, there were miracles and blessings that were a big part responsible on Pastor Drew's obedience. He could have overrode the Holy Spirit and said, "Now we ain't got time for that today. I got a lot of notes to go over." That lady could have not been obedient in all of her steps that she's taken to just catch her obedience. There's a lot of obedience that we hear in that letter from her. But obedience will always lead to blessing. Because God is a blesser. And all we need to do is obey that which he asks us to do. So today, he's asking us as a congregation, and by the way, this isn't new. He asked all of us forever. The day you became born again, you know what? It became part of the package. But today, he's reminding us, and he's saying, okay, listen. Deputize the people. And as I look at this spiritually, here's what God is doing. God is going to protect this atmosphere. And in the morning service, I'm thinking, I mean, I know the atmosphere is important. You know what I'm saying? I understand. You know what? We had the power of unity a couple weeks ago. You can just start to see what God is doing here as he's looping some things together. But as I was sitting there and read this, and then you know why we're doing drive-through prayer? Because God said to do drive-through prayer. Actually, I think Isaac had seen this in Los Angeles probably over a year ago. Been a while. And had shared that with us. But it's like, yeah, that sounds good. You know what I mean? But now the Lord said, now.
No, that's all.
Yeah, I got it. I got this. So,
I just want to say that's, he had shown it to me. I knew in my spirit we needed to do that. And then about whatever it was, less than 2 months ago, the Holy Spirit said, do it now. And so there was this, okay. You know.
Okay. So why are you doing it? Well, because we're going to obey. But you know, what are these people doing? The Lord is connecting a lot of dots as I'm sitting there. What they're doing, they're pulling on the property.
That's right. They're acting in faith.
And when they pull on the property, See, what you know what God's looking? He's looking for that one accord from us. So I'll tell you what, I'm telling you the truth. You know what? There are many. Take responsibility and ownership today. Because we're all going to stand before him one day. And when we do, you're going to answer for you. Amen? I'm going to answer for me personally, and I'm going to answer for my part here as a leader in this church. Okay, I just did my part right now. Okay? So I'm good to go when I stand before him. I'm obeying him. But will you be good to go when you stand before him? Did you walk it out? Did you obey? That's on you. But make no mistake about it, and I'm being a lot more intense in this service because I want to be sure that we all understand what is at stake. Because the Holy Spirit connected exactly what he's doing right now. God is not into, he's not looking for a one-man band anymore. Do you understand this? The days of Oral Roberts, and everyone would flock as if it was oral. It was never oral. It was always Jesus. But the days of just one man and everyone trying to crowd to get in, you know, to get near the man of God are over. It's about us being the body of Christ. It's about us being the Acts Church. And your part will begin with this simple obedience as we hear the voice of God today and we be sure that we walk it out. And you'll be encouraged because we're going to get a lot of praise reports as we do this. But then you're going to go into phase two, which is you're just going to start, I'm telling you, it's going with you where you go as you begin to grab hold of this. And understand how important these seemingly little things are. They're not little. There's nothing little. He asks us to obey. He wants us to obey. Because he knows more than we know. Amen? Amen. So now I'll deputize you. Please, if you're a believer, please stand. If you're willing to say, yep, I want to be deputized. I'm going to not only, you know, I'm not only receiving this for myself, but mainly what I'm asking you to do right now in this church, you're standing because you're saying, I'm going to be one who will turn to the person next to me and say, remember, we've been deputized. I'll not only be that person, but I'll be the one who zips it, locks it, and holds it down, because I understand everyone around here is deputized. So you're going to take care of yourself, and you're going to help take care of the atmosphere. That is what you're being deputized for. Amen? Amen. So go ahead and put your hand over your heart, and we're just going to pray. Amen? Father, I thank you for everyone who's standing. I thank you, Father, that we are responding to what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning. Father, I thank you for any murmuring and complaining that has taken place on this property. Father, we just ask for the blood of Jesus just to wash each one of us, Father. For any seeds of discord, whether they be through words or action, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. We repent that it washes that away too. I thank you that we start today with a clean slate as a church body. And I thank you, Father, that we hear you, and we're very, very aware that you don't want any seeds of discord and you don't want any murmuring and complaining, that you want us to be in one accord. And so, Father, we receive that today, fresh and anew, that we will not only mind ourselves, that we will mind one another. And we will simply look to one another if we see any complaining, if we hear any murmuring, if we pick up any seed of discord, that we will say, I've been deputized, remember? And I thank you for the humility. I pray for humility for everyone standing, Father, that when that moment happens, that we will love the person who lovingly and gently just says that to us, Father. And that we will just repent and say, forgive me, Father. Thank you. And we'll move forward. I thank you that you are putting us on alert here, that you are setting us up for signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, I thank you that you will show yourself mighty in our community, and that each and every one of us will be part of that, beginning with this piece right here, as we receive you and obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.